Thessalonians in chapter 5. And this passage, very well known to a lot of Christians, but usually when we look at it, we just kind of look at it as a list of things. But what we see in this passage is it's actually a list of things to help us be what God wants us to be, to be sanctified, as we see here in later on in the passage. So we're going to start at verse 16, some of the shortest verses in the Bible, and yet some very powerful truths here this morning. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So I'm going to take the title from verse 23, sanctify you wholly. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, for your power, for your presence as we open your word together this morning. I pray that each of us would open our hearts to Lord, expectantly hear from you, that you would change us through your power and draw us closer to you. May your will be done in every life. We give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe that what Paul has written here is, if you will, a formula to help us be sanctified for God's use. That's the conclusion of the passage, is the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Sanctify means to set apart. God wants us to be set apart for his use. We were left here on this earth after we're saved to serve the Lord, to accomplish things for him. And God wants us to be set aside for that purpose. And I believe he's shown us in this passage, even though they're tiny little verses, there's some very powerful truths that can help us be sanctified or set apart for God's service. So we'll just walk through them. There's seven things here that we see conveniently. Good number. Ways to be sanctified for God. And the first one, two words. Rejoice evermore. We cannot be the believer that God wants us to be if we cannot get a hold of this great truth that we're to be rejoicing all the time. I don't know about you, but I meet too many Christians that are down in the dumps. And it's not supposed to be like that. We have the Lord. We have salvation. We're going to heaven. And the Apostle Paul wrote us from prison in Philippians chapter 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Say, how can I rejoice when everything's messed up? You still have Jesus. God's still on your side. God has a plan for your life. Yeah, the circumstances may not be what we want, but that doesn't stop us from rejoicing in who we have and the salvation that we have. So rejoice evermore. We must have this attitude of joy that comes from within. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy comes from God and is available. You know, David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, and he wrote that very well-known Psalm, Psalm 51. After repenting of his sin, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David had lost his joy. Why? Because of sin. So God wants us to have this attitude of joy. The Lord Jesus Christ promised us joy. He said in John 16, your joy no man taketh from you. In John 16, 22. Jesus promised us a joy that will be lasting. Most of us know Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us to have an attitude of joy. Secondly, verse 17, pray without ceasing. I would say those are some pretty powerful words, just three words. Pray without ceasing. What is God trying to teach us there? We can't be sanctified the way he wants us to unless we are maintaining constant fellowship with him. He's already our best friend. He indwells us. He loves us. He's doing what's best for us. But He designed us for fellowship. He wants us to be in constant fellowship with Him. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. If we could, let's go to Luke 18 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ told a parable here, but before He told a parable, in this particular case, He actually gave the purpose of the parable prior to telling it, which He didn't usually do that. But here in Luke 18, verse 1, the Bible says, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So prior to telling the parable, the inopportune widow, He said, this is why I'm telling the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. God wants us to be in this attitude of prayer, of constant fellowship with our Lord. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And if we want to be set aside, sanctified for the Master's use, we need to have an attitude of joy and an attitude of constant prayer and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Thirdly, verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Can you see that a lot of this has to do with our attitude? Having joy, being in communication with the Lord, being thankful, having this attitude of gratitude. In everything, you mean we're supposed to be thankful for trials? That's included in everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, the Bible teaches, if you go to Hebrews 13, that when we give thanks unto the Lord, it is the equivalent of a sacrifice. You know, when you think about the Old Testament sacrifices, and they would bring the turtle dove and the lamb and the calf, and the priest would slay it, and they would give part of it, and then the blood was given as a sacrifice. God actually says here in Hebrews 13:15 that if we would learn to have this attitude of gratitude, that it is equivalent to a sacrifice. Notice Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Look what He says. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. We have so much to be thankful for every day. And if we're going to be sanctified the way God desires, we need to have this attitude of, I am thankful. In everything give thanks. Even the trials, even the hard times, we need to learn to thank the Lord, because we know God makes no mistakes in our lives. God always knows what's best for us. And whatever is coming to our life, no matter how painful it may be, it's from God. And we're to give thanks for it. So in everything give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. The Bible doesn't mince words about what we're to be thankful for. Everything. Everything. And yet, how often do we come to God and complain instead of give thanks? So if we're going to be sanctified, we need to have this attitude of joy, an attitude of constant fellowship with the Lord in prayer, and this attitude of thanksgiving, constant thanksgiving for all things unto the Lord. So if we're going to be sanctified, it starts with our attitude. And those three areas attack our attitude. But then the fourth thing has to do with the Spirit of God. Notice it says, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. We are to be constantly mindful of the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That God and the person of the Holy Ghost indwells us. And that our behavior can quench His influence in our lives. It's sad, but it's true. Another word that God uses in Ephesians 4 is the word grieve. He says, grieve not, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. By what? By us. by our sin. Our wrong words, our wrong thoughts, our wrong behavior, all of these things can quench the Spirit. Quench means like when you pour water on a fire. We know how that works. The Holy Spirit is like a fire. Matter of fact, when He came down on the day of Pentecost, it says they could see fire. When we sin, it's like pouring water on that fire. Now, He wants to be in control of our lives because we're told to be yielded unto Him. But we lose that powerful influence that He has in our lives when we quench Him. And the Bible makes it very clear. Go, if you would, to Galatians 5:16. The Bible makes it very clear that our mission is to be yielded to God, yielded to the Holy Ghost who lives in us, that He might control our lives and work through us to accomplish what He has planned for us here on this earth. Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I submit to you that at any given time in our Christian lives, we are either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. It's one or the other. And we don't have to wonder which is which, because whenever we're sinning, we're definitely not walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God doesn't sin. So if we're walking in the Spirit, God says, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which means if we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we're not walking in the Spirit. God says, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench Him. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Doesn't it say in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You can't be filled with something till you're emptied of everything else. So if we're going to be sanctified, set apart for the Master's use, we must have this attitude of joy. We must have this attitude of prayer and this attitude of thanksgiving. But we also need to be yielded to God the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Number 5, verse 20. "Despise not prophesying." Just three words again. Prophecy in the early days of the church was the declaration of God's word. Now that prophecy has ended because the Bible's finished, God still wants us to be responsive to the declared word of God, i.e. when it's taught and preached. What do we do with it? Do we respond or do we despise? So I would never despise the word. Well, according to God's word, when we don't obey it, that's exactly what we're doing. Let's look at that in James chapter 1 and verse 25, if we could. Most of us are familiar with Romans 10:17. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." According to God's word, the hearing of His word can build our faith, which will help us to be sanctified or set apart for the Master's use. Notice James 1:25. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You notice that word "work"? That means that the Word of God motivates us to serve, motivates us to work for God, which means we're responsive to it. How do we show our response to the Word of God? By obeying it. That's how we show our love for the Lord. "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we're going to be set aside for the Master's use, God wants us to be responsive to His Word. When the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts through His Word, and He will, through preaching, teaching, as we're reading, as we're meditating, as we're studying, the Holy Spirit's going to use the Word in our lives to convict us. When that happens, how we respond defines where we are in our sanctification. Do we respond with confession, repentance, and a changed life? Or do we respond with, "I don't want to hear that right now"? The choice is ours. But we can't be sanctified if we're not responsive to the Word. Number 6, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now this is also attached to the Word of God, which isn't surprising. But what he's saying is, we need to be grounded in the Word of God so that we can prove all things. You can't prove something unless you have it, something to prove it against. And what God is saying is we need to test and check everything against His Word. Does that line up with God's Word? Does that thing that person's trying to tell me, does that line up with God's Word? Does that behavior line up with God's Word? Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. In other words, we're to be established in doctrine, established in His Word. Go to Colossians chapter 2, please, and we'll see this again. But if we're going to be sanctified or set apart, God expects us to be established in doctrine. So that sounds like work. It is. That's why it says a workman that needed not to be ashamed after it tells us to study to show ourselves approved. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. A warning there. How do we avoid that? Verse 7, by being rooted and built up and established. To prove all things against the Word of God. We can't do that unless we know the Word of God. Another verse, Ephesians 4. Turn over there if you would. Verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If we're not proving all things, if we're not grounded in the Word, this is the alternative. We're going to be tossed to and fro. That's not God's will. So, we must have the right attitude. If we're going to be sanctified, an attitude of joy, an attitude of prayer, an attitude of thanksgiving, we must be walking in the Spirit of God, responsive to the Spirit, but we also must be responsive to the Word of God. Not only as we hear it to respond properly, but we must be grounded in it, proving all things, holding fast that which is good. And then the seventh one, verse 22, has to do with our outward behavior. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, we know that Christians are commanded to be separate from the world. We're told to be. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. All through the New Testament we're told to be separate from the world. And that's what he's telling us here, to abstain from appearance of evil, to be different. If the Bible says that our profession is that we're Christians, that our lifestyle should be a reflection of that. That we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. So God addresses our attitude, an attitude of joy, an attitude of prayer, an attitude of thanksgiving. He addresses whether or not we're yielded to the Spirit of God. He addresses our response to the Word of God. Are we responsive when we hear it? And are we grounded in it? And then he finishes by addressing our outward behavior. It sounds like we've got the whole package covered there. But what's his goal? Verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. In other words, completely. And then he expounds upon that. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like our God, we are a triune being. God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're body, soul, and spirit. And God wants the spirit and the soul and the body protected and sanctified and ready for the Master's use. And he promises there in verse 23, the very God of peace. Our God is a God of peace. And if we're going to have a peaceful Christian life, I'm talking internally. Externally, it may be an absolute mess. We could be persecuted. We could end up in prison. But we could have peace in our hearts if we're sanctified and set apart. And God wants our body and our mind and our soul, our body, our soul, and our spirit all protected and sanctified. And that can only be true if we implement these things in our lives. But you know what makes the whole thing exciting is that last verse. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Because we hear these things, we say, oh man, my attitude needs a lot of work. It really isn't what it should be. And my response to the Word of God really isn't what it should be. And I'm really not walking in the Spirit like I should. And the truth is, my outward behavior sometimes lets the Lord down. I just don't think I can do it. You can't. But God can. That's why he finishes by saying, faithful is he that calleth you to do what? To be sanctified, who also will do it. We don't have the power to do all these seven things, but God does. If we'll just yield to him and say, Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. You know, when we ask God for help, what do you think God's response is? To just say, yeah, you just do it on your own? No. God does it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. As we admit we have our failures, as we come to him and ask for his help, as we yield to him, God will make these things a reality in our lives, because his ultimate goal is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we be sanctified wholly for his use. I hope that would be our goal. And I hope that it would be our goal to check ourselves. Am I where I need to be? Am I allowing God to set me aside and sanctify me that he might use me wholly, completely for his use? Amen. Let's pray.